let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jim Bush, would you lead us tonight?
Let me, Father, we just thank you for this night you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the safety getting here, Lord. Lord, just give the pastor words to say, Lord. Bless the words, Lord. And Lord, just let us have ears to hear, Lord, that we may go out of here, Lord, telling others about Jesus Christ and spreading the word, Lord. And supplying the lost hope, Lord, for there's people walking around today as if they have no hope, Lord. Lord, just let us go out there and do what we're supposed to do, Lord, to give them hope and give them Jesus, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for the safety, Lord. Thank you for your blessings, Lord, upon us, Lord. And thank you for your mercy and kindness, Lord. Pray this all now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
For our second song, then, let's turn to 428. 428. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares.
So as far as announcements go,
Lord, we're going tomorrow, 6 to 7, for the public outreach there at Front Street, Bridge Street. Also, you can keep in prayer. I got a call from Caddy's High School, and they offered me a spot on their shirt. And they said they're only going to put one church on there, and they decided to pick ours. So I'm going to bring up the price on it Sunday morning. I want to go forward with it either way, but I'll bring it up before the church. I think it's a good opportunity just for the kids to see on the back of each one of the shirts that they get a church on there. I guess the first year they're going to put a church on the back of the t-shirt along with nine of the businesses. So I think it's a great opportunity for our church and just to get our name out there and maybe God use it to deal with one of those kids. Lord willing, this Sunday after morning service, while we'll meet you right after the service. Lord willing, also Sunday the 26th, we'll have missionary Neil Javid here from Pakistan along with his wife and two children. So keep that in prayer. That's Sunday, September 26th. And then Lord willing, we're going to have a little revival meeting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 29th, 30th, and 31st. And Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday. Pastor Tim Cross will be coming in. He's a pastor of Bear Trail Baptist Church down in Virginia. I actually never had an opportunity to meet him, but I've heard him preach numerous times and felt led to give him a call and see if he'd want to come up here and do that for us. And so he'll be with us those 3 days. And it's the last weekend of October. So keep that in prayer. And then also this evening, we're going to take prayer requests at the end, but to keep Brother Craig in prayer room. Brother Craig, Sister Kathy's very heavy right now. He went to the doctor for his heart, some issues there. So just tonight, if you just can lift him up in special prayer. Again, we'll take prayer requests at the end of the service. And have Brother Brian be a missionary prayer leader for us.
Right, this is from the Heisey family, missionaries to Romania. It says, our days have gotten shorter and cooler as fall approaches. It is nice to be over the heat of summer, though we know the cold winter is on its way. We continue to press on through all the trials the Lord allows in our lives. Christy has been following her treatment after her seizure, but unfortunately, she had another seizure about 2 weeks ago. Thankfully, I was with her. Back to the hospital we went. Through an online search, we found a very experienced neurologist doctor who is 82 years old in the city near us, and he is very up to date on the latest treatments and testing. A huge blessing is that he is a very nice man and is very understanding. We have gone to him twice for testing and consultations, and each time has taken around 3 hours. He is very thorough, and we are working on getting to the root cause or causes. So far, nothing serious has been found. Please pray that Christy does not have any more seizures, that she continues to improve, and that we can resolve the root cause of the issue. We appreciate your prayers, too, for all of us as we try to make sure Christy and I all are always together, that along with many doctor's appointments and tests, make for a busier schedule. The Lord has given us more opportunities to witness through these trials. It was a blessing to see a gypsy pastor friend of ours at the Tyler's Church as he and his family came to speak and do some special music. Our ministries at the Tyler's Church are going well, and we are thankful we can serve there. The fellowship with the people there is a blessing. The Lord continues to bless our services and fellowship. I found that trials make the church fellowship much sweeter. How much we need that encouragement, especially when things get tough. Brother Tim Tyler did one of our Tuesday Bible studies, and everyone seemed to enjoy it. Gina, Mariana, and Young, Mariana's unsaved husband, come regularly, as well as Ika, Gina's mother-in-law. Please pray for children to come more regularly for our children's classes. For various reasons, it has just been our children for the last few weeks for the children's classes. Mariana's daughter, Anna, who has been living out of the country for many years, came back to Romania with her family to renew some of her and her children's documents. I was able to help them with some of that, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be a witness to them. She is planning to leave again once she has what she needs, but we are praying that the Lord will work in her heart and that she would be saved. Again, we are so grateful for your prayers and support.
Please keep the prayers going. We trust the Lord is blessing you as you serve Him. In His service, Jonathan, Christy, Corey, and Marcy.
Preach what I was going to preach, going through 2 Peter there. Take your Bible, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and turn this on, sir. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7 says this. It says, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to gather together as believers. Lord, I thank you for our salvation. I thank you for our Savior. And I thank you for our work, for your word, dear Lord. And Father, I just pray that you give wisdom, guidance, and direction now this evening. Lord, help us, dear God. We know there's a lot of heaviness going on, Lord, and I pray you just meet with us tonight and give us the help that we need. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So the Bible says here in 1 Peter, very, very, very familiar portions of Scripture, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But then it goes right into the next verse there. As you cast your care upon Jesus, because he does care for you, the next verse says to be sober. To be sober and to be vigilant. Why? Because we have an adversary. We have an adversary that is a lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, obviously, the seeking of whom he may devour, it's not a literal lion that's out there that's trying to eat your physical body. Okay? The devil is not a literal lion physically walking around this world, and somewhere right now he's eating somebody. No, I believe what it's talking about here is seeking whom he may devour. When it comes to believers, is devour us in our minds. And I've said it through the grief classes we've been going through that the main grounds that the enemy tries to get us is within our minds. And the devil, the Bible says here that the devil, he seeks whom he may devour in, I believe, the mind, the thoughts, inside the head. You get to the mind, and maybe the mind will affect the heart, and the heart will say that's it. But the Bible gives us instruction. It says to be sober and to be vigilant and to be aware of these things that the devil tries to devour us. Verse number 9, the devil, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What affects one affects the other. What affects one affects the other. If something's affecting one of you, it's affecting me. And I believe that's the way it needs to be among brethren and believers, is that we affect one another, and that's right. With those that mourn, we ought to mourn. With those that are having joy, we ought to have joy. We need to be there for one another. For what reason? Because of the devil trying to devour one another. Or devour us. Verse number 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that in the world. Now, take your Bible and flip over to Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42. Psalm 42, verse number 1 says this. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And the reason the writer of this psalm has such a desire for God, jump down to verse number 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And he goes on to verse 3 and says, and they continually say, where is thy God? Now, this is an individual that's talking to the psalmist, and he says, my tears have been my meat night and day, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And I think that's a provoke of the enemy. Not only will individuals often come to you that are lost, maybe lost family members, maybe lost friends, and you're going through something, and they look at you and say, well, where is your God? If your God is such a God of love, why does he allow this to happen in the world, in our community, in your life, if he is this great God of love? Where is thy God? I don't know about you, but there's been plenty of times in my Christian walk to where the enemy comes in, and even in my own thoughts, where is God? Where is thy God? God, can you not see? God, can you not hear? God, can't you understand what's going on here? Where is God? Verse number 4, when I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He goes to church. He hears the singing, the joy, and the praise unto God. Yet verse number 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And so you could even come into church and your soul's cast down. The questions are being asked, where is thy God? And you come into church and you hear the praises and you hear the joy with the multitude that kept holy day. Yet in your heart, the question goes out, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall praise him for the help of his countenance. Hopefully by coming to church, you get lifted up. Hopefully. That's why it's important to come to church. It's important to come to church because you may be the one that's cast down. The questions may be, where is thy God? Yet when you get into church and you hear the singing and you hear the praises of God being sung, you'll ask yourself a question. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. So when the enemy comes with the question and others come with the question, where is thy God? Verse 5, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. God is the only one that can provide the help that we truly need. But verse number 6 continues on and he says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth in the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Here the psalmist is not referring to the enemy, yet he's referring this back to God, saying unto God, deep calleth in the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, referring to God, and all thy waves, referring to God, and thy billows are gone over me. You see, there's going to be times where God will put us through things because God is not ignorant to what's going on in our life. And if anything's being allowed in our lives right now, it's because God is allowing it if you're his. If you are God's this evening, he is allowing it for his purposes, though we may not understand. I know I might sound like a broken record on it, but it's to me, the battle is really, really on right now. Hold your hand here in Psalm 42. I'm not done yet there. And flip over to Nehemiah chapter number 4. Look at Nehemiah chapter number 4 right now, if you would with me. Nehemiah 4, verse number 1. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1. I believe I could say this evening that there were some points in the United States of America's history that it was more of a godly nation than it is now today. I believe there was times in our nation to where there was a revival that swept through in the 1800s and early 1900s that God did something with this nation, and the majority of the people in this nation, if they weren't saved and knew God concerning salvation, they acknowledged that there was at least a God that you had to respect and fear. Even though they might have rejected God, they still acknowledged that there was a God. So America, I believe at one point, was a godly nation, quote unquote, better than it is today. So look what the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1. And I'm going to get to a point on this. It says, Nehemiah's gone back into the land. He's going back to try to rebuild the wall because it had been torn down by the enemy. But it came to pass in chapter 4, verse 1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Sanballat, he comes in, he sees that the Jews are back, coming back in the land to try to rebuild the wall. And what does the Bible say? He was mad, he had great indignation, and he mocked them for what they were getting ready to go do. Now I'm going to say, you say, why are you bringing this up tonight? I believe God's desiring to try to do something with this church. I believe it. And this thought in my mind has just occurred over the last week or so, a week and a half, 2 weeks. And recently, these last couple of days, as if the Lord's saying, the Lord would like to do something with this church. And the reason I say that is because there's very few lights around this area. Very few lights. And this area has a lot of people in it. A lot of people. I don't know what the population of Bethlehem, Easton, and Allentown is, but I would assume it's up there. Is Allentown, I know Philly, Pittsburgh, third largest population in the state. Think about that for a moment. And I've been thinking about it this week. I really do believe that God wants to do something for this church, or else God would not allow this church to still exist. 40-some years you had a preacher here, established this work here. 4 years you go without him because he passes on. I believe God's got a purpose for this church. I believe it. I believe it as sure as I'm standing here. I'm not saying I'm the answer. I'm saying the church is the answer. And I believe God's got a purpose for this church, or else this church would have ceased to exist after at least a year with no preacher. God's got a purpose for this church. And you see, as we read here in Nehemiah, listen, the rubble, the city had been destroyed, things were broken down. It used to be a great city, Jerusalem. Israel used to be a great nation for God, but it got torn down, it got burned up, because they turned their back on God. And I'm not referring to Race Street Baptist Church. I'm referring to the United States of America. There's a lot of rubble out here. There's a lot of people who have been burned by the church. Even false churches. There's a lot of people probably in this area here. They won't step in. Quote, their idea of church is that any church, they won't step into it because they've been burned by the priest, by the rabbi, by the preacher, whoever it may be. They've been burned, and their life is rubbish because they've gone the ways of the world. And yet you have men here, Nehemiah and others, who are willing to come in and try to bring out the stones again, set them up, and rebuild the wall so that God can do something. I believe we may be in those stages right here that God's giving us an opportunity to reach those who have been burned, those who have been caught up in the rubbish of this world. Or why are we still here? Brethren, if that's not the purpose, if that's not the cause, why is Race Street Baptist Church here? Now, number one, I think we're here to worship God. Yes. And worship and praise Him because He's worthy of it. But then there's also another thing here where God wants to get in and for us to get in here and work. Work. If not just to give people the opportunity. This church may never be full. But this church ought always to be a light. This church ought always to be a lighthouse with a light shining out there in that vast ocean of this world saying, there's help here if you want it. There's safety here if you want it. But when you try to start rebuilding, you're going to have individuals that are going to mock you, great indignation and wrath. And I'm referring to the enemy now. Say, preacher, why are so many heavy things going on? Because I think the Lord's trying to do something. I think God's trying to do something, but the enemy's pouring it on because he has great indignation. He's full of wrath and he's seeking whom he may devour because he does not like the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ going out. He does not like believers assembling together and praising God whom he abhors. Verse 7 says, all thy ways are gone over me, the billows are gone over me. Verse number 8 in Psalm 42 says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. Why they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. When enemy comes in, or even if the Lord himself allows waves to over engulf you, to overflow you, the billows and the waves, yet we must realize, as verse number 8 says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. though God allows. Listen, what happened with Job? Satan came there before God, and God said, "Where have you been?" He says, "I've been down there in the middle, down there in earth, walking to and fro." And God says, "Look, God brought this up." God says, "Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered Job?" God is, for lack of better words, and I'm not saying it's irreverential or however you say it, God almost throws Job under the bus. Consider Job. God recommended and put out to Satan, hey, what about Job? But think of what an honor it is that God recommended him. Think about that for a moment. That, though Job went through, I think, the most that any man's ever gone through on this planet, it was an honor because God said, have you considered Job? God thought pretty highly of Job and how he conducted himself down here on this planet. Consider it, brethren, if you're one of God's children, consider it an honor that he allows you to go through something. Because he cares for you. I love verse number 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, in my prayer unto the God of my life. Hold your hand there and look over at Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Colossians 3, book of Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. That psalmist there in Psalm 42 at the very end of verse number 8 says, and my prayer unto the God of my life. The God of my life. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The psalmist said in 42 verse 8, he says, the God of my life. Here in Colossians chapter 3 verse 4, Paul says to the brethren there, he says, when Christ, who is our life. If Christ is your life this evening, Christ knows, Christ hears, Christ sees. And Christ, Jesus Christ, will sustain. Back to Nehemiah chapter 4. I'll close up here. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 2. Nehemiah chapter 4, and verse number 2. Look what Sanballat goes through and says in verse number 2. Not only does he get mad, he's wroth, he's got great indignation, he begins to mock the Jews. Look what he says in verse 2. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? He begins to mock them. He begins to say, what do these feeble Jews? Where is thy God? Where is the help of your God in these moments that you're going through? Same type of questioning going on here in Nehemiah chapter 4. It's all from the enemy. When the enemy comes into your mind and he says, where is thy God? When there's confusion in your mind, when there's chatter in your mind, when there's a fog and a blackness and a something that you seem like you just can't break through, it's not coming from God. Brethren, these things are real. This is real stuff. I've had quite a few people call me up and talk to me over the last week or 2 weeks talking about, preacher, I don't know what's going on. Preacher, I don't know what's going on. It just seems like everything's breaking loose in my mind. I can't pray. I can't do this. It just seems like this what do these feeble Jews? What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they strengthen themselves? Will they settle themselves? Will they stand upon that rock, Jesus Christ their Lord? Will they sacrifice? Will they come in and praise God and lift up their hands to the Lord and glorify Him for all that He's done? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they ever finish this? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Are they going to go in there and do something for God again? These feeble Jews, this small little group of people, they can't do nothing for God. They can't rebuild the wall. There's none of them. Verse number 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break it down, their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in a land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Ignore the chatter. It's hard to do. It's hard to ignore the chatter in the mind. You see, what was being spoken physically to the physical Jewish people by an enemy that was come in to try to discourage them, what it was being done physically there in Nehemiah now happens spiritually to the believers in the mind. What do you feeble Christian? Do you really think you're going to have power with God? Do you really think that by you praying that God's going to hear your prayers? Do you really think God sees your tears or hears your cries unto Him, you feeble Christian, you? God does hear. God does know. God does love you, and God does care, even in times when you're overwhelmed by the waves. Think about that story there with Jesus in Mark chapter 4, I believe it was, when they were going on that boat, and Jesus is in the back, and I don't even know how big the boat is, but it was big enough for Him to go lay Himself on a pillow in the back and fall asleep. And all of a sudden, the disciples had a legitimate cause. The waves were coming into the ship. The Bible says the ship was now full. I think there's a cause to get a hold of Jesus here, because my ship is full and I can't take no more in. And unless God does something here, we're going under the water. And what does Jesus say to them? "O ye of little faith." "Lord, forgive me for a second here. I'm just going to be honest with you, God. And I don't mean it's disrespectful, but do you see the case and the cause of our ship right now? It's just not the winds that are boisterous. We actually got water in this thing, and unless we get this water out, we're going to sink." And Jesus says, "O ye of little faith." I often wonder what would have happened if they'd have had faith, and Jesus said, "Well, he's sleeping, so everything must be all right. Even though the ship's filling up with water, he knows best. He's God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He can do something if this thing happens to go underwater." And I often wonder if they had that faith to where they let that thing, to where it starts sinking, man, the water's come up the knees, they can see there a little of the boat, it's going under, and now the water's starting to touch the feet of Jesus. It's starting to come up over his legs because he's asleep, and all of a sudden Jesus wakes up, but the ship is going under, and he says, "Don't worry about it, fellas, we'll just walk on the water." I'm just thinking that through, it didn't happen. But Jesus had the power to do so. What did he say to Peter? "Come on out, Peter." People get on Peter because he lost faith and began to sink. Man, that man got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. How are you going to make fun of a man and say, "Well, yeah, you just didn't have enough faith"? Sir, if you're in the middle of a storm, you're going to get out there and start walking on those waves? Peter got out there and was walking on water. But you see, how does that apply spiritually? Jesus can help you walk on water. I'm not talking about physical water, so don't go out here to the Lehigh River and try to start walking on water because the preacher said, no, I'm not talking about that kind of water. The preacher said you can walk on water. No, you get out of Jason's boat. If you go out with him, you're going to sink in the water, I guarantee, unless you got a life jacket on. You're going under. I'm talking about spiritually walking on water. takes some faith. It takes some trust in our Savior. When the billows are coming in, it takes faith, it takes trust, and it takes knowing that He loves you and He cares for you. And He'll be there for you. So, Sanballat and Tobiah mock Him, yet the people had a mind to work. Let us go forth in the power of our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, grace, and goodness. Lord, I pray you just help us tonight. Pray you help Brother Craig, Lord. Strengthen him, dear God. Encourage him. Help him, Lord, to just help his body physically, dear God. I pray you help his heart, Lord, and help him just to do what he needs to do, dear God, concerning medical questions or whatever he's got to do there, Father. I pray you bring clarity. Lord, I pray you help Sister Kathy tonight. Strengthen her, lift her up, dear God. Encourage her with all that she's got going on. Lord, every other brother and sister in here this evening, Lord, that has heaviness upon their heart, heaviness on their minds, dear God, strengthen them, encourage them, help them. Lord, I pray you'd help Ray Street Baptist Church to be have a mind to work for you, dear Lord, to glorify you, to praise you, to honor you first and foremost, and then have a mind to be about good works. Lord, to glorify you, and Lord, to maybe rescue somebody that's rubbish, Lord, that's been in the rubbish out there, somebody that's been burned, dear God, that's had just a mess of a life, dear Lord, and maybe they've been burned by the church, dear God. Help us, Lord, to have a mind, dear God, to maybe go out there and rescue them and bring them back in. Lord, help us now this evening, dear God. And Lord, I just pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, I don't know why we're not going to pray this evening as a church. I think the Lord would just have us to go home tonight. But before we go home, I want you to, before Sunday, if the Lord tarries, I really want you to keep Brother Craig in prayer. Yes, and Sister Kathy. Them two, and also the Cobles. Those four individuals in our church. Just some heaviness going on there. So we're just going to dismiss tonight. I know it's something that we don't normally do. I just feel led to just send everybody to just go home tonight. But definitely let's keep these things in prayer tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and as we come in on Sunday. Amen. I love all you, and I hope everybody has a safe trip home, and Lord willing, see you Sunday morning. Amen.